Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell here for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go. Talking more draft because, well, it's so funny. We talked for 4 months about this draft.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Recap Monday. Okay, now next. What's up? No!
No, we, there's still stuff.
There's a lot of stuff
we didn't,
to talk
we didn't
about.
Get into it as much as we could have. And I'll take in a little bit more, just a little bit more depth on all the pertinent players. I mean, there's some guys in the draft that I wasn't crazy about for the Texans. It happens every year. I mean, I've just got my own opinion, so, you know, it doesn't mean I'm right. I just have a difference of opinion. There's some guys that I absolutely love. But one thing that I do want to say has really taken place here over the last 2 years is there was a lack of cohesiveness with philosophy from the Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien days. There wasn't a real cohesive philosophy where things didn't. And so a lot of that has to be on Bill O'Brien, frankly, about who, like what type of players, what did Texans look like? I don't think there was a good feel for that. And then, you know, I think Brian Gain, who's big into that kind of stuff, who's in Buffalo, by the way, Matt Bazergan, Brian Gain, A.J. Highsmith, Alonzo Highsmith's son, they're all over there with Brandon Bean in Buffalo. They got a phenomenal staff. But Matt Bazergan was,
I didn't understand them not getting more a couple of wide receivers, though. Just one.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Didn't they get one?
They got one.
Yeah. Yeah, they got one. Well, you know.
And this was a deep wide receiver draft. You know, some people are criticizing the Texans for not getting one as well because you've got two guys that are possible free agents or that are free agents next year, after this mm-hmm. upcoming season. And, you know, you could have had a guy, you know, maybe one of the Jenkins sticks. I don't know. We'll see. But that's a reach if it does.
Well, an undrafted free can make fifth wide receiver. That's not crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? You're going to be. I don't know. You might be looking for a one or two next year.
Well, yeah, but the Texans had, like, would you rather them draft a receiver for the future or go get a position that they think they need now, like safety, nickel, cornerback? Now, I guess your argument could be they could have drafted wide receiver instead of tackle and Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
And then, some people were saying, what about A.D. Mitchell, drafting A.D. Mitchell there? I just don't think they won. We'll find out
how good he is.
So this is the thing. I think the Texans have a philosophy of what they want to get. Now, it does raise a question maybe, and this isn't really, I'm just curious, like how fluid are the Texans if the boards change dramatically, if somebody's on the board they didn't expect to be there? Do they go in with an idea, okay, Laster's a guy that we want in the second round? But, you know, have you had discussions about what if Mitchell slips there? You know, because who knows if the pick would have been, could the pick have been Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama?
Obviously, I don't know. Had Lasseter higher rated.
Well, didn't Kool-Aid go ahead of him?
No, Kool-Aid was there, wasn't he?
Did Kool-Aid go? I think Kool-Aid went ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Cooper DeJean. Okay, is it DeJean or DeJean?
DeJean. I said
it's DeJean. Yeah. Kool-Aid went before, right? Yeah. So Kool-Aid went one spot before. I am curious.
Oh yeah.
If they would have taken,
but they traded up to get Kool-Aid, right? Yeah. Moved ahead of them
because you know the Texans. Well, that's what happens when a team knows your needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they'll move up. Almost always when a team moves up, they're moving ahead of a team that they think could draft their guy.
It went DeJean, McKinstry, Lasseter.
Yeah. So I wonder, you know, how the Texans viewed that, because I think they could have viewed DeJean as a corner or safety for this scheme. I think it would have been corner in this particular scheme. Kool-Aid McKinstry, did they have him valued more than Laster? I would hope so. I would hope so, because he can play outside.
Okay, so
but Lasseter makes more plays on the ball.
So really here are the guys that would have been possibilities for the Houston Texans right there. Okay, I don't know about Max Melton. What did you? How'd you?
No, I mean, they're the same position.
He went right after him.
Yeah, they're the same position.
Okay, Edrian Cooper. We talked a lot about. I didn't think linebacker would be a smart move there. Jonathan Brooks was not too far after.
They're not going to draft
Chris Jenkins, Mike Sandra Still, A.D. Mitchell, Michael Hall Jr. All of these guys.
So I had heard they liked Hall. Like he might have been the pick. So Hall may have been the pick at the back end of the second. The second pick. Now, Michael Hall has some football character issues that had people dropping him a full two rounds. So he may not have fit the I'd heard they liked him. So I think they may have taken a chance at the second pick of the first.
Rake Straw was there.
Well, they didn't
like
him.
What about Javon Bullard? I think Javon Bullard is going to be a really
good player. I love
Bullard,
but he's kind of a caught between big nickel, that star position, and which in college you'll see, like Petrie played it, where you play, you're a nickel, but you're there for run support. Like, it doesn't really translate as well in the pros. I don't know that Bullard, he's somewhere between he is a good football player. He's really plays the Petrie position. Like, if you got rid of Petrie and told me Bullard's the guy, oh, man, I'd be happy. I just don't know if you could draft Bullard when you already have Petrie.
When you have Petrie. So Blake Fisher goes 59, and Rosengarten, who you were high on,
went
behind him.
Who?
Roger Rosengarten.
No, I didn't like Rosengarten.
Oh, you didn't?
I like Fisher. Yeah, Rosengarten I thought was going about there, but I think my grade on him was like
I thought you liked him.
No, I don't like Rosengarten.
Oh, okay. What about Sumataya?
No, I think he's no thanks.
No thanks.
I put him in a third. No, Fisher is my highest rated. They got my highest rated tackle at the spot.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something.
All right.
He's, from a talent standpoint, Fisher was my, I had him as a 2-3. That's where he went. He was, and the tackles had already been pushed up the board. 100% they got my best tackle.
Well, obviously, the Texans may have, Sean Payton intimated that he kind of moved the needle on the trade ahead of, he was saying that he had something to do with them moving up.
I was
getting
a little uncomfortable with that conversation about how Sean thought he got over on everybody. Right. Like,
with Bo Nix. I was listening to your little draft show, Dell, and you don't think that Bo Nix is going to start for the Broncos in game one? You think it's going to be, I heard you guys talking about it, and you were like, I don't know. Bo Nix is probably not going to start for them in game one. I'm almost positive.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't remember. If I did, I don't remember.
He claimed that Roger Rosengarten.
Who else is going to start?
Isn't Stidham on that roster?
Yeah. They're going to start Stidham on that 12 overall pick?
That's Tad Brown's son-in-law.
Well, yeah, I know.
They're going to start
Kobe
Brissett.
How'd you get your little hockey tickets?
And oh, by the way.
Did Tad help you with hockey tickets?
Yes, he did.
So who do you think should start now?
Well, if he helps next year, because Frankie was going to loves the Devils. I think Stidham should start every game.
Exactly. I'm not sure that his draft status means anything. Is Drake May going to start in New England?
Yes.
Is he?
There's a difference. Now, Jacoby Brissett is different than
Stidham.
Stidham's taken snaps in one football game
before. No, Stidham is different. Brissett was a starter in the league.
So is Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, not really.
He's a starter because somebody else started.
When did Jacoby Brissett start games other than when someone was suspended or hurt?
No one.
So did Stidham. Stidham started games too.
But Brissett started a lot more.
And did those go well?
In New England? Yeah, he beat the Texans.
He beat the Texans.
Well,
he said that first.
He ran and beat the Texans. Right. No, but he didn't look. He actually didn't look bad in Cleveland at times.
There's a
Indianapolis.
Four to five games of Brissett where you're okay. That's okay, and then diminishing returns.
Yeah, I mean, like a backup.
Yeah, he's what he is. He's a backup, and Stidham's a backup too.
Well, he's got 48.
I will say this,
but he's got 48 career starts.
I'm gonna tell you this. I think Nix is gonna be pretty good with Sean Payton.
It's the best possible
spot. I mean, he's a 77% completion percentage.
He's 100%. It was the best spot. I'm like, the one spot that I feel really good about Bo Nix would be if Denver got him, but I thought, okay, well, this isn't possible because they don't have a second-round pick, and they're not taking him at 12. basically Denver just said, okay, we like him. So they thought the same thing. We do like him. Look, his tape's really good this year.
And by the way,
it's really good.
He was player of the year.
I don't even remember saying what John said I said. So I'm just now playing devil's advocate. I don't remember saying Bo Nix wouldn't start. I don't remember saying
I liked Roger Rosenthal.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that.
No, I remember that.
There are two other guys on
because
that.
I was going to text you at the time and say, well, that's stupid.
Had you had any drinks?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's be honest. I probably didn't say that.
Strike to remove.
Why would we be talking about Bo Nix on a Friday?
You did. You guys were talking. Okay. Never mind.
Exactly.
Hey, you said it.
You did.
You said it.
I didn't say it.
I got somebody else just sent something. If you want to go back and listen to the tape. Somebody
you go
just
back
sent
and listen.
Something.
You're accusing me. You go back and listen.
They just sent something.
Who did?
The people said Dell said it.
Dell did say it.
The people.
Oh, is that on Twitch?
It's on a different platform. It's on Super Truth.
It's not a thing.
Yeah. No, you did say it, but okay. Never mind. You didn't say it.
Though. I didn't. Thank
okay,
you.
Right.
Street
okay.
Said it.
You absolutely said it.
I did not.
We have got sound from Blake Fisher. It was an interesting pick in that, and you think that this is not a guy who's just going to walk in and he's automatic backup. This is not Charlie Heck. This is not a Charlie Heck situation.
Well, he may be Charlie Heck this year, but they're drafting him to put heat on Titus Howard, and in the second round you're drafting him to be a very good swing tackle who takes over for either left tackle or right tackle in the near future. And who is more likely to go in the near future? Right tackle, because after 2024 you can cut him and save actually $2 million. So after this year, if he didn't get it together, he's gone. If he plays well, then good, then they'll have a good swing tackle. Then Blake Fisher will play. You know, I don't think he'll be a guard. He's never played guard. He's only played, and of course, Nick Caserio said, hey, you don't just put people at guard, which is true. They got to have certain elements to their game, but I don't think they drafted Fisher. They didn't draft Titus Howard. Now, did they give him the extension? Nick did. Did D'Amico give him the extension from a timing standpoint? I'm trying to remember.
Was it before D'Amico?
No, I think D'Amico was there when they gave it to him, right?
I don't remember.
I have to look at the extension timing, but they
July
can get
26th of last year.
Okay, so D'Amico was there. Now, he had never coached the guy.
Yeah.
So they gave him the extension. That would have been Nick's decision because Nick knew him. And they were rewarded with injuries, and it happens, but he was injured last year. I think his play at guard, he's clearly a one-position player at right tackle. Maybe he can swing and play some left tackle for you. Can't play guard. We're 0 for 2 at guard.
Yeah.
Just not a run blocker. He's not built for guard. So, I mean, for me, I mean, based on what I like in Blake Fisher, based on what I see, Blake Fisher is going to take over that role. Maybe not this year, but he's going to be the new
All right,
tackle.
Here's Blake Fisher talking about he didn't realize that that the Texans were on him. As a matter of fact, it was a little bit of a surprise.
I met with them during the combine. You know, I had a formal visit with them, and then I would say, you know, I had a couple of Zooms with them, but didn't know the interest was this high. But you know, love this opportunity, especially being able to be, you know, back with you know, one of my OGs from, you know, college, Jared Patterson, and you know, then, you know, young and upgrowing team, you know, just being able to contribute, you know, just bring, you know, what I bring to the game, you know, to this program or to this organization.
That's cool. We'll see. You know, it'll be interesting to see as much money as they're paying Titus Howard for them to have to bring in right away. 8, 9, 10 months after they signed him to that huge extension that they're bringing in competition for him is interesting to say the least. So, Blake Fisher here, you liked him. You had him. And yeah. Jared Patterson is his OG.
Yeah, you have a guy backing up. You know, one thing that I've really learned, and Travis, sit tight. That's a good question. We'll get to it probably on the other side, but sit tight. I see your phone call. 713-780-3776. One thing that I've come to realize through sitting next to Bucky Brooks is Bucky has really showed me over the last 3 or 4 years how tied in. I'll give you an example. Chris Ballard went to school or played football with Paul Christ at Wisconsin. Paul Christ is on the staff at Texas as for Sarkisian just last year as one of the analysts, you know, one of those high paid analysts. He's a former head coach at Pitt and was at Wisconsin for years. He leaned on talking to Paul Christ on AD Mitchell. He's like, Paul, they went there and visited with Paul, and Paul gave his stamp of approval. you have, like, all the time, Jarrett Patterson helps give his stamp of approval on guys. Cade Stover with – there's it is amazing how often in the drafts there's a connection with a former play, you know, a coach who used to be at a college that recruited a guy or something. Like, there's so many connections on draft picks so frequently that somehow there's a one of those Kevin Bacon degrees of separation.
Well, I would have been.
Where there's a connection with the player and a coach who's now on the staff.
Well,
like,
you'd
you never
be dumb
about.
If you're Cesario and not talk to Jarrett Patterson about him. You'd be dumb.
Yeah, it makes no sense. You want to get – and for Ballard, it had – Paul Christ on the staff who could tell you about A.D. Mitchell. Okay, this is the issues. He needs to be more mature. He's a good kid, blah, blah, blah. You got to do that stuff. And there's some guys who won't get drafted because the same conversations. They go,
oh, no,
because I know a player who a teammate said, we do not need him in this locker room. Right. It wasn't in this draft. It was in a different draft.
You know, there's a lot of teammates on the give me the VIN. .com site, and there's
he's on TikTok. I saw
he's all
John
over.
Clay Wolf video on TikTok.
No, he's all over. You should all the videos that he's putting out now on X, all of the videos that he's putting out on TikTok, dude. And he's talking, and he's got more knowledge than anybody about the car business, about the car industry, and he knows vehicles. You call him on his radio show, and I'm sure he's got a screen up there that can tell him which car that they're going to talk about, what kind of car is it, and then they'll pull up, you know, maybe what it's worth or whatever. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But, I mean, nobody does more. Nobody buys more. Nobody sells more. I mean, we're talking about billions. We're talking about billions of dollars worth of car buying and selling in the GiveMeTheVIN.com world right now. And here's the deal. It's so easy. You buy a car, or they buy your car. Give Me the VIN will come to your home. They'll pick it up. They'll hand you a check. Okay? That's how simple it is. You want to do it through your dealership? You can do that as well. Because of the taxes of you know, buying that car and the taxes of selling your car, all of those things. And John Clay Wolf can make it seamless, just like you're doing it through a dealership. So that's not a worry. You don't have to worry about whether or not you can buy it from him and not the dealership. Here's the deal. You're looking to sell your car, get more for it. It's seamless. It's easy. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Continuing draft talk. We also, it's Joey Lo Profito Day here in the city of Houston as well.
J-Lo. I guess we'll call
him J-Lo. We can't call him J-Lo.
We'll call him J-Lo. That's fine.
J-Lo. Yeah.
Joey only lives once.
So they got to make a decision. Who's your guess they're going to cut?
Singleton, DFA.
Yeah, I think they got to. I like the dude, but he's gotten a lot of money. He's got enough, you know, to buy all the stuff that he wants.
I'm not trying to. The Astros aren't on the hook to support him for life. Well, he's an employee of the team, and he's not. They already have a bad deal with, they already have a bad deal with Abreu, and Singleton is just. I mean, cut him. I'm sure he'll still be out there. If Lo Profito doesn't work out, you'll be able to bring him back. But, you know, DFA him. I don't know why you would keep a left-hand. He plays one position. No thanks.
And he's not very
he doesn't even
good
have,
at it.
Like, he's a power hitter who doesn't hit home runs for the team.
Yeah. That's a
left-hand power hitter off the bench without home runs. It's not good.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right.
No.
So we'll find out what that is today. Cleveland in town. They're a really good team. The Astros with the fifth worst record in baseball. Fortunately, they got the two wins over the weekend. There's an article in the Chronicle today that this is what turned the season around, that trip to Mexico. We'll see.
I hope so.
No, I mean, this team is too good to be playing the way that they are. Plus, a lot of days off now. The pitching should be rested. You're getting Javier back. You've got Fromber back. You've got Verlander back. I mean, it's time for them to really turn this thing around and actually start hitting with runners in scoring position. That would be great. Let's try that. Travis, are the Guardians a real here?
Are the Guardians a real baseball team?
Is what?
The Guardians an actual baseball team?
Yeah.
Sure they are.
As opposed to the Rockies?
They won a World Series in 2019. Maybe you forgot.
They did not. The Cubs.
No.
The Guardians win?
19?
The Guardians never won.
Oh, not Cubs Guardians.
Won in 16.
I'm going Nationals. I'm sorry. Nationals.
Yeah, the Nationals.
Yeah, Cleveland Guardians.
Beat the Astros.
Guardians
they're
have
different
not
than the
won.
That's not. They're not the same teams.
They kind of are. Guardians and Nationals, same teams.
They're very similar.
Yeah, very similar
in
colors.
My head, they are.
Yeah,
they both change
the
their
names.
Well, the Nationals are just, you know.
No, the Nationals have been
Expos.
The Nationals.
Expos, thank you.
The great. What about the great Nationals player named Warren Cromartie?
Well, that's
just like the great Earl Campbell who played for the Titans. Same thing.
What?
My point is, can a turnaround start? Can we start talking about a turnaround when they play an actual
real baseball
team? The Washington
Nationals, where used to be the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, we know that.
Warren Cromartie. It's the same thing with, Earl Campbell. Titans great, Earl Campbell. No, it's not.
Oh, it's really not. Can we please get
Travis in.
Get serious and get Travis in here?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I do.
Hey, 2 years ago, everybody knew we needed a running back. We had the second pick in the second round, and Breece Hall fell to us. However, the Jets moved up and took him. Fast forward 2 days ago, 3 days ago, everybody knew we needed a cornerback, and Cooper and Kool-Aid started falling. Why didn't the Texans move up and take him? I mean, if they took Lassiter, were they so high on Lassiter that they said, we're not going to do it? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, you're moving ahead of somebody who doesn't exist yet. They moved ahead of you, but how high do you have to go up to every time you like somebody? Here's what I would argue, Travis. If you panic every time you see somebody on the board you like and you're constantly moving up, your picks vanish quickly. Like, you got to let the draft come to you. And also, if you have a guy you love, yeah. Well, they would have moved up even earlier than that. They must not have loved Kool-Aid McKinstry because they felt what? They had the 42nd pick. I thought Kool-Aid would be off the board by the 36th, 37th pick. They would have moved up to 38 if they loved him. They wouldn't have taken a chance. So they obviously had them graded similarly.
I guess if he's asking the question, it would be about anticipating a run on corners, which we always hear about. We hear about, this GM anticipated a run, so he moved up before he could get snaked. Do you find value in being able to sense a run on corners? Because we saw
You usually don't trade up. You'll notice this in the draft this year. You start trading up when the run starts. So as soon as one guy goes, then you panic and – you know, you go up there, but you can't just move. If you really valued, and that would have cost you, it might have cost you a third to move up, probably a fourth to move up from 42 to like 35. That's where the move is. You don't move up one or two spots. I mean, you can.
Well, people do. If you think that somebody's going to come up and steal your guy, yeah.
Yeah, you do that, but not if you have players similarly graded. Not if you have a clump of five players and you say, we like any of these five.
Right.
We're not giving up our pick. That's exactly what
happened.
Well, how much
more did you like Kool-Aid than Lassiter?
Well, I like them. Lassiter, I mean, I think they're similar players, but Lassiter doesn't have the athletic profile and size of Kool-Aid. But Lassiter makes more plays than a football. Kool-Aid's just big, can run a little bit at a 4.47, can play outside. Lassiter, to me, is only going to play nickel inside. So I had a higher grade on... I had a higher grade on Kool-Aid by like almost a full round, but that's because Lassiter ran, and I'm afraid of that speed a little
bit. Okay, so, Mel Kiper addressed that. He's on with Field Yates on their podcast. I don't know what their podcast is. I don't know, but Field Yates is who you will hear first, and then Mel Kiper, who they were talking about the AFC South. And they started with the Texans because Mel gave the Texans the best grade in the AFC South. And he actually addressed the Lassiter 40. And you got it ready? Yeah. Here's Field Yates and Mel Kiper.
Let's go to the AFC South, where we had a range from the B-plus to the C-plus. The B-plus was the Texans. The C-plus was the Titans. Mel, I actually think people would be surprised that the Texans, without a first-round pick, would land the highest grade in the division. What did you like the most about what Houston did?
Well, I liked a lot of their I like the players they drafted. You know, Kamari Lassiter, I had talked a lot about on this podcast. He's in the hip pocket of those receivers. He plays a physical brand of football. Yes, he didn't run 4.45. Who the hell cares? These 40 times drives me crazy, Field. A 4.5 is a bad 40 time now. It's how do you play? You can play, you can run a 4.5 and still play faster. You can run 4.4 and play like a 4.6 guy. Blake Fisher, had he been back at Notre Dame for another year, would have been a guy we were raving about. Kalen Bullock, I know Matt Miller, you talked about him a lot. I'm not as high on him, but in the third round, that's not bad. I love Cade Stover, former linebacker, defensive player at 265 pounds, ran a 4.65, caught the ball, blocked. He's kind of a throwback type of player that Texan fans are going to love. And guess what? C.J. Stroud's reunited with Cade Stover. I love that they did that. They didn't forget about one of C.J. Stroud's key guys in Cade Stover. Then, you know, later in the draft, I thought Jawar Jordan could be this year's Keaton Mitchell. I didn't think he'd run a 4.56. I thought he might run a 4.4. He didn't, but he played fast at Louisville. He was a home run hitting back who could catch the ball out of the backfield. Then you get a Marcus Harris late. At one point in time, we were talking about Marcus Harris, maybe third or fourth round. But I just thought they got some good football players, but I thought some of those guys early were a little underrated, Kamari Lassiter being one of those, and I really think that Cade Stover is going to be a key guy for C.J. Stroud. So both sides of the ball, they got help for a team that is ready to roll maybe into the Super Bowl. Who knows? So, again, like I said.
That's rolling great. Into the Super Bowl.
He's well, yeah.
That's okay.
Welcome to the. Welcome
that's
to
what
the,
I took out of it.
Welcome to the train.
Okay, so
it's an unstoppable that, train. At this
back,
point.
Back to one thing you talked about, Jawar Jordan. I didn't watch obviously all the tape that you did on him. You weren't that high on the pick. Boy, is just a guy. Is he fast? Holy crap! It's every run that he breaks, and he broke a few big ones because I didn't watch all of his runs that you know, obviously he didn't. He had a lot of runs that weren't all that great, but the ones that he broke, he runs away from everybody.
Yeah, he's got speed. I had him borderline draftable actually. He ran a 4.56 at the combine, so it doesn't look. But to the point you make, I mean. There's game speed. There's time speed.
Yeah.
Teams use GPS numbers. So they'll talk. Most of these college teams are using Catapult, which gives you the tracking, the wearables. That's what it looks like, the sports bra. And they will they'll go to the teams and get that data. So the 40 is really more for fans than media, to be honest with you. Many teams now are translating.
Many teams
are using GPS data, the top speed data, and they're projecting off of that. I said small running back with thin lower half who plays much tougher than his size would indicate. Unlike most smaller backs, Jordan isn't as sudden or as explosive. He can be a step slow through the line of scrimmage and isn't going to be much of an added yardage back with power. However, Jordan runs with good vision, great processing, making smart cuts, and taking the most efficient routes he can. He can compete for a third down reps and has above average talent. As a kick returner, the lack of size will hurt his draft slotting, but he has a shot when he gets into camp. So, vision is huge with zone scheme backs. Planting cuts at very crisp angles headed downhill. That's a classic zone cut back, and they ran outside zone. Becomes more elusive as the run gets past the second level. Lacks size and blitz pickup, but has the dog in him to do it. So productive working wheel and seam routes out of the backfield. I mean, just going through my strengths and weaknesses, you can see why they would like him. There's a lot of elements in here. Kick returner, third down bat, has third down potential as a pass catcher and blitz pickup, and then as a one cut downhill back with vision. I mean, I can, as I go through these things, yeah, these are the elements you look for late in the draft. So I don't really remember them. Like, I watched them, but I'm looking at my scouting report. I don't, you know, I remember Guarendo, but Jawar Jordan was kind of the guy, one that was supposed to be the one you're looking at, and then. Yet, and then all of a sudden you run into a guy who's 221 pounds, ran a 4.33, and you're like, better. What's this about?
Mm-hmm.
What's better this 220-pound guy running a 4.33? What's that about?
713-780-3776. You got anything that you guys want to talk about, you're more than welcome to get it in here. 713-780-3776, the number. I got to talk right now about Kent Jones, my man. He is geeking out about mortgages right now. I mean, he wakes up thinking about mortgages. And here's the deal: is he's smaller. Those big guys, the big mortgage companies that put their names on bowl games, man, they're just doing volume. Man, we just got to pump it out. Here, let's advertise and let's just pump it out, pump it out, pump it out, pump it out. Are you getting the kind of service that you need? I don't know that that's the case. I don't know if they're giving you the personalized service that Kent Jones is. I know that they're probably not. They're probably not giving you that kind of personalized service because Kent Jones says, I'm only taking on so many guys. I don't have the overhead that they do. I don't have the office space that they do. I don't have the lights that, and all the employees and everybody else that I got to pay. I don't have to, you know what? I don't have to charge as much. He doesn't charge as much. I can work the deal as hard as I can because I've only got so many clients and I am going to make sure that they get the best. And they've got, you've got all of the Fannie Mae's and the Freddie Mac's and the FHA and the VA, LTV, PMI, all of those different loans that you can get. He's got them, all those options. He's gonna help you find the best one for you. He's going to cut down on the expenses for you. He is going to make it a much easier experience for you. If you don't shop your loan, you're doing it wrong. And if you don't use a broker, you're doing it wrong. So let's go. The Ultimate Mortgage Hookup, my man, is at Dream Rate. All right, Kent Jones. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, L-O-A-N, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You know, it will be interesting to see. The Chronicle did a depth chart of the Houston Texans right now after the draft, after free agency, and after the draft. Obviously, it's obvious what's going to go on. A quarterback with C.J., Davis Mills, and Case Keenum. I wonder if they keep all three. That'll be interesting to see. Probably. They did last year. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you needed Case last year, actually.
Well, you still are on rookie contract for... Yeah, I mean, why
you trusted not? Case more than you did Davis.
Case knows the well. Maybe you want to get a better backup.
Well, that's
too late. Who's out there?
Yeah, no. Maybe you want Case in that quarterback room too.
Well, I think you do. The question is, do you want to keep Davis Mills, who has some physical ability?
But I mean, when it came down to it, who'd you pick? You picked Case.
Well, when it came down to it, when. Davis Mills came in games. They were 2-1.
Well, they were. Case won the game, the one that CJ wasn't there for.
I know.
In Tennessee.
But they were when Davis came in games, they were 2-1.
Oh, okay. What, did he come and take a snap at the end?
A few, a couple. Yeah. And also, he had that one loss they had to pull Case.
Yeah.
Because Case
that's true.
Was not so good.
Not great.
Same with the Davis, and it wasn't so good.
No, not great. Neither of them were great. Running back Joe Mixon, obviously. Pierce, Ogunbowale, and Jawar Jordan. Here's, you know what?
I don't know that they keep four running backs.
I don't think they
keep
Pierce.
Here's the problem. Ogunbowale is, well, they might trade him, but Ogunbowale is a special teams player, too.
So, and Jawar Jordan can return kicks, too,
yeah, but
right?
So can Damian Pierce. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. It wouldn't be shocking, though, if they moved Damian, if they just said Pierce just isn't a fit in the offense, and they moved him for like a seventh round pick or something.
Or whatever.
Because like I think there's value in Damian Pierce from another team.
And here's something with Jawar Jordan. If he's a kick returner as well, you can afford to let Steven Sims go from the wide receiver slot. Andrew Beck and Troy Harrison, they're going to keep, I guess, both. Nico Collins, here's where it gets interesting. Nico Collins, Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, Stephon Diggs, Noah Brown, Tank Dell, John Mechie, and Steven Sims. If they keep seven, okay, then only one has to go. But if they keep six, what do you do? They like Robert Woods a lot, but Robert Woods' production over the last 3 years has been, it's like he's not even the same guy that was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Brown was much more productive. I mean, Robert Woods early on was catching some balls, but after that, it was nothing. Xavier Hutchinson, they really like on that reverse. They like to run him on that reverse a lot.
I don't see, yeah, but I don't see where the Texans. I've seen questions. We got phone calls. We got two. I've seen questions about what they're going to do at wide receiver. Like they could have used another wide receiver. But honestly, if you look at it from a team standpoint, you got three locked in. One, two, and you got Noah Brown, who was effective last year. You got Robert Woods, the veteran. You've now got the Janky twins as undrafted free agents who are coming in. One is a slot. One's the – I don't think the one who can play outside.
They'll probably be practice squad.
More than likely, I think Jaden will end up being a practice squad player. And we'll see who else. I got to look at the rest of the depth chart. We'll see if there's anyone else. Steven Sims, last year, he's on the
– I just said him.
Yeah, he is a return option. So – and you have people who could get cut in the preseason, so I don't think that they're going to look at that as obviously they don't look at that as a big need.
No. They didn't look at it as a need. It'll be interesting to see who sticks.
Yeah, it's going to end up being a potential need next year, but I think they almost have to lock in on Nico Collins now.
Yep, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, Cade Stover, Tegan Quintoriano.
So Brevin Jordan will be gone after this year. His rookie contract's up. They won't give him a second contract.
I don't think they keep four though, do they?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, because they run a lot of 12 personnel. So, is Beck still on the team?
Yeah, Andrew Beck's still on the team.
Okay, so this is actually a pretty good battle between, let's see, Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover, Quintoriano, Brevin Jordan, Dalton Keene, and then where's Beck? Is he at running back somewhere? I don't see him.
Fullback.
Oh, there he is, Andrew Beck and Troy Hairston. Man, that's a lot of fullbacks and tight ends. You're right, John. I mean, you can only keep one fullback. So you can keep one fullback, and then Dalton Keene probably. Although Dalton Keene can block a little bit, it's interesting. There's actually some good competition. Quintoriano's got his work cut out for him. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I actually think he's a pretty good blocker in the zone scheme, but he can't stay healthy. So Brevin Jordan, you know, Quintoriano is probably odd man out right now. If they go three tight ends and then they keep Andrew Beck as a fullback, there's four players who can play tight end / fullback type position. So, and Stover's done it before, played offset, but you know, he doesn't have to play in line. Yeah, that's a good position to keep an eye on right there.
All right, we'll get back to the line, because there's a lot of interesting decisions to make on the offensive line and defensive line for that matter. Who is up here wants to talk a little Astros baseball? JP wants to get in here. Hey, JP.
Morning, gentlemen.
How we doing?
I had a suggestion for our new first baseman's nickname, so hopefully we can abandon the J-Lo and Jolo conversation. I was thinking we need to go full Italian like Tommy DeVito and either Tommy Bags or my personal favorite, Joey Bags or Joey Loops, because he loops the bases. What do you think?
Joey Loops, Joey Bags. Joey Bags is an Italian name. It's okay. No. It's all right.
What about Joey Boomba?
Joey Boombats.
Joey Boombat is pretty good.
Yeah.
Joey Whiff.
No. We don't think negatively.
It would be Whiffo because it's Italian.
There's no Whiffo in baseball.
Joey Whiffo.
More like Glass half full nicknames, Del.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're not going with Joey strikeout to walk it ratio or something like that. It's too long.
No.
To say Joey, I like the idea of going Joey something, you know, that sounds more mobbed up. I like that better than J-Lo or Jolo. I will admit that. Joey, I don't know Loops, though. Loops the bases.
Isn't it more rounds the bases?
Joey Lopes?
Rounds the bases.
Lopes, isn't
Joey it? Rounds?
No, Joey rounds the bases. No.
Mm.
Let us spitball this. Let us work on this.
Joey sits.
Well,
Joey plays. Joey needs to play.
Okay.
Joey options?
We're going to play.
He still
it's
going to
be Jose sits.
Mm. Yeah.
Jose se sienta.
Well, you think a spot is giving Joey, I don't know what we're calling him, J-Lo 4 starts a week?
Who was it that...
Give him a shot.
Who was it that we were all excited about coming up?
Because you got to get Jose Abreu in there?
I'm just saying, it's... He's terrible, but it's disrespectful. Hey, you sit down, this guy.
Do you think Bags wants Abreu to play right now or not play?
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because he wants him to play well, But if he's not going to play well, do you really want him in there?
To do this. He did have two hits the other day.
Yeah, I know. Mexico City.
Yeah. And they were grounders. They were.
Doesn't matter.
Wasn't C&I. Like he lifted it. They're at 80,000 feet above sea level, and he got two ground ball hits.
Great. That's like telling me Thanasis got a couple dunks against the Pacers in a blowout.
Hey, still, they went through the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
All right. 713-780-3776. Talking about, how about my wife? She texts me this morning. Hey, don't forget, we got until May 15th to protest our taxes.
Oh, crap. I need your guys, by the way.
Yeah, I do too.
I
do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at it. I'm like, hey, I got to turn this. I need Josh guys to work.
We all need these guys. I'm telling you here and now. It's
market is stale and they're sitting there raising our rates like this. Are you kidding me?
I swear to God, I looked at the text. My wife, she texted me. I'll leave it in the file in the kitchen for you because you have to do this.
There you go.
I will do it, and I will do it with Ownwell. Ownwell is a company that fights for you. Paying property taxes is not protesting your property taxes is dumb. It's dumb because they're charging you more than you have to. They're charging you more than you should be paying. And here's the deal. If you're somebody that, and it's so easy to sign up. It takes 3 minutes for you to sign up. And if they don't win, you don't pay. Okay. If they win, they lower the appraisal value on your home. You win, you know, that tax money. Okay. A percentage of that is all you pay Ownwell. So that's the great thing about it. It's no pay, no win, no pay. Savings or free, guarantee. Hundreds of thousands of happy customers, 5-star reviews. 86% of Ownwell customers save on their taxes. So if you don't do it, that's dumb. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start your protest today at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776. Pierce to the Cowboys for a fifth. They got Ezekiel Elliott. They don't need Damian Pierce.
No, you're not going to get a fifth for him. He's got 2 years left. He's coming off a 0 year. At the most, you'll get a six. At the most, but more than likely a seven. You're not getting a fifth for him. Whoever said that. We want a fifth for him.
Shut up.
That's right, but that's fine. But he was drafted in the fourth.
A bad person.
You think there's a depreciation of one round after last year?
Yeah.
Well, you have no leverage.
Well,
the guy was a nothing last year.
Says you.
No, says stats.
No. Listen, again with the numbers.
He had Ogunbowale playing ahead of him by the end of the year. He was on kickoff return. Fumbling. Fumbled on a kick return in the playoffs.
Stop talking to people about things that happened. You don't tell people things that happened.
Oh, remember that time he almost ran for 1,000? Like, I need to be talking about that.
If the Cowboys can sign Zeke and think it's an added benefit for them, maybe they'll be convinced.
All Cowboy fans now, every time something happens, all in. Because Jerry said they're all in, and then he did nothing in free agency. By the way, they have 4 compensatory picks coming. Like, Dallas has figured out the comp pick game. They got 4 compensatory picks coming. That's probably great. Why he wasn't signing guys, is he just said, okay, instead of me signing basic guys in the back of the, because they weren't going to go get a big dollar guy, you got to pay Dak. I'm sorry. Your quarterback, y'all need to pay your quarterback. Let's get Dak. Let's get him up to $58
million. So you out here talking. Why?
Higher.
You keep talking.
Lock Dak in with the Cowboys.
You know, at some point, it's going to trickle down, and then you're going to be paying.
To a good quarterback?
My quarterback
knows ball. Have you seen these videos?
Oh, I've seen him.
Yeah.
I've seen him. He knows ball.
Does he know how to throw a touchdown against the Ravens?
Yeah, he does when Tank Dell's there.
No.
Tank was there in the first game.
How come Lamar Jackson, he needs help. Please help Lamar. For years, everyone, he needs help. Please help Lamar. He doesn't have anybody. Then our Tank Dell goes out, and everyone's like, oh, CJ didn't throw it. Well, everyone named Dell keeps bringing up, CJ didn't throw a touchdown. I pray the Ravens see us next year. Oh, I pray they see us with our
boys. They will.
They will punk
the Ravens' ass.
They got their schedule.
We're going to punk them out next year.
Who's blocking Justin Madubuike?
I said it. It's going to be ugly, too, because it's a double revenge game.
Is Juice blocking, or is Jared Patterson blocking? What's his name? Juice Patterson? Is he
Juice.
Is it Jared Patterson?
Jared Patterson.
Is he blocking Justin Madubuike?
No, we're going to have Juicy there. Scruggs is going to be in there.
Oh, Juice, Scruggs, Jared
Patterson. Yeah, and we have Kenyon in left guard. We're fine.
It's either one of the two, whether I combine
them. Green was drafted in the first round.
I've heard. You're really high on him, I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm watching Tanks. I'm watching Tanks blocking on the Damian Pierce.
He can't let it go.
Delete that.
He can't let it go.
I can't
let
it go.
You got to let it go.
I can't let it go. That and the video of the shooting. Have you seen that? You've seen that.
The tank shooting?
The tank shooting, yeah.
Well, it was chaotic. I didn't see the shots.
Well, yeah, they slowed it down, and they saw Tank was standing over. He was actually trying to break something up, and then the guy started shooting. They are saying that, and if that bodyguard or that security guard doesn't stop that kid, it would have been really, really, really bad. He was either calling him a hero in Florida tonight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. He shot 10 people. No one died, luckily.
No, but yeah, it was like
another 16-year-old with a gun who just, it's just like pull and shoot. Like the group of teenagers that shot up the Kansas City, like they don't have any, teenagers in general don't really, aren't very smart. They haven't lived life, so life isn't very valuable to them. Man, the most dangerous thing in the world is it seems like nowadays is just young people with guns because they're just it is just pulling unload. If
lack
you need
of respect
to.
For life,
yeah, and fights turn into gun. Like you don't just have fights anymore.
Yeah, because
somebody don't want to lose. So if you're getting beat, you pull the strap.
Yeah, the video it appears. I don't know if the
of course that, also people bum rushing one guy. Or
yeah, that's
rat packing
apparently
somebody.
That's somebody was being jumped and then the kid decided. That's not happening, so I'm just going to start firing on people. Yeah.
Let's get Jay in here. He wants to talk about the draft. Hey, Jay.
Hey, morning, guys. Lance, I have a general draft question. I'm watching the draft the other night, and they drafted an offensive tackle with the first overall tackle draft. I don't remember who it was. But they put a graphic on ESPN for his 40. I get it with skill position players and defensive backs, but why do we care about a 40 of an offensive tackle? He's not running 40 yards during a game at any point during the season.
You don't, Jay. All you care about is a 10-yard split because it can show explosiveness in the hips, which can show how they fire into people. Like, you do like a fast 10-yard split because that means, you know, it also can show you how you get off the ball and get into space if you're going to be a pulling guard. But honestly, you like seeing a fast 10-yard split if you can get it or at least average. The 40, like, a slow 40 typically means you're a slow player, so there's a correlation. But in general, you're right. It doesn't really matter as much. Like a 5, okay, somebody ran a 4.9 40 as a tackle. Man, that's really fast. But so, are they strong enough at the point of attack to stop the defensive players they're going to have? Can they move people around? Do they get their footwork into position to get block sealed or their hand placement good? Like, you're right, the 40-yard dash is it just shows an element of athleticism potentially with the 10-yard split. You'd much rather see them have good three-cone drills and short shuttle because that shows actual change of direction and agility. So, yeah, 40 is not – my dad thinks a 40 is the most useless thing you can possibly imagine for an offensive lineman. So you're right on that. It doesn't really matter. It's just a show-off. It must have been somebody – if it was a first tackle taken, would have been Joe Alt, and his 40 was fine. It's just a show-off stat at that point. It doesn't really matter in football.
I joke about the Ravens and not scoring against them, but when we're talking about contenders in the AFC specifically, I think I look at premium players and how many do the Texans have. Now, Casario's been around since 2021. We're through another free agency period in the draft. How many premium players do you think the Texans have on their roster right now?
It's a good question because way more than they used to. So, premium, let's call them blue stars.
Okay.
You've got
quarterback.
The quarterback.
The left tackle. Two defensive ends.
Yeah.
Daniil and Will.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Stingley.
Well.
Oh, absolutely.
He's only played like.
He should have been first team.
Okay.
He should have been all pro.
He played half a year. Can you be that if you can't play? He hasn't finished a season in 4 years.
Well, he didn't start last season, but he finished last season.
I take it back. Yeah. He hasn't had a complete season. You're right. He hasn't had a complete season in 4 years. Isn't that Does that not bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Why,
though? Because what I saw from him last year, he's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And now stay on the field, and we'll, you know, I'm counting on him.
Talent, yes. I just want to see him. I just want to see him stay healthy for 1 year.
Nico, Stephon Diggs.
Okay, you giving Nico?
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know.
Seven.
I don't know if I call Nico just yet. Him and Stingley. I want him to do it again this year, and I'll give it to him.
I got seven.
That's 1 year.
I got seven premier players in the league.
Not Christian Harris. No one else on the offensive line. Fairbairn? I mean,
he's one of the better kickers in
the
league.
Hey, make a kick in the playoffs, okay?
Tommy Townsend?
Make that field goal. Premium, he makes that field goal. Didn't make it, so it's not premium.
I would probably force, and you didn't put Tank in there. He's got to show it.
And I love
Tank. I mean, we all like Tank, but to me, I just want to see, I want to wait one more year on Tank, Stingley, and Nico Collins. I think they're all trending that way. I think they all have the talent to be, for sure. I just am trying to be, usually with teams have a, they'll call it gold star or blue teams, whatever. I mean, they're pretty strict on it. We're talking about Pro Bowl players.
Did you mention Diggs?
Yeah, he mentioned Diggs.
Okay. Oh, you, John, are at seven. Lance, where are you?
I'm more like
five.
More like five-ish, yeah. I'll give you one of them. No, I'm not giving him either one. I want to see, I need Stingley to stay healthy for a full year. And Nico, I just want to see him do it a second year. But I fully think Nico's going to do it a second year. I mean, some of the numbers with Diggs there may not be the same, but I just care how he plays. And then with Stingley, it's just a case of, look, this has been four. What is this? Why am I distracted? Who is wearing this crap in the NBA? Who is this?
Jalen Williams.
Why?
Why the NBA
getting
players,
ready to put a lid on the Pelicans.
Why do NBA players do such dumb stuff? Okay, sorry, that was my ADD. No, but for me, I just want Stingley to finish the year. That's all.
He's premier.
He's premier talent. Yeah.
There is no question. There is no question. He is
premier talent.
He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Okay, if he misses,
he performed. He was better. He was better than New York Jets.
Not for the whole year because he wasn't there.
Seven games. When he
availability.
He had better statistics in fewer games.
Okay, but you have to play. Like, what if he misses four more games this year?
I'm okay. If he plays,
okay
if he plays 13 games, yes, I'm fine.
No, I don't think the Texans will be. You can't miss this much and expect to get paid max dollars. You can't. Or you just end up with, like, you'll be super pissed off when he's not playing in a big game because he's hurt.
13 is a lot of games for Stingley.
That's not a lot for most cornerbacks.
Okay
most cornerbacks play the whole year.
If you give me 13 right now, I'll take it.
How many games do you think Trent McDuffie played last year for Kansas City? One of the top three cornerbacks in the league. How many did Sauce Gardner play? If your answer is 17, you're correct. These guys play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to play. He would tell you that. D'Amico wants him to play football.
I'll take 13 right now.
No.
Yes.
No, we're not taking 13.
Right,
we're taking
seven. It's not the NBA.
Yeah. What are you, load managing already?
No. Listen, you can't make an all-pro team unless you play 13 games. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now.
Against the quarterbacks, he's going to say he better play more than 13
games.
No,
I don't need it to be, because if he doesn't play, you know what that means? You got C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda out there balling. Yeah, so you want him just 13? Are you sure? What are you going to do the other four?
All right, I got to get the throw up out of my mouth, so I'm going to talk to Mark Klein from Klein's Jewelry right now. Here's the deal. Mother's Day is coming. She does it for you all year long. She does it for the kids all year long. It's your turn to pay her back. It's coming up May 10th. It's around the corner. What have you done, Mark? What are you going to do for the people?
You know, it's Mother's Day, but it's coming up, and you got to take care of her. Loose diamonds, diamond pendants, diamond earrings, you know. We're doing a big push on lab-grown diamonds now, which is it's amazing product. You know, it's just diamonds built in a lab. They test the same. They look the same. Everything is the same as natural diamonds, just cost a lot less. So anything you want in jewelry, whether it's watch repair, jewelry repair. Hey, John, I just opened another store. I just opened another store right there in Memorial off of Echo Lane, so it's more easy, accessible off of I-10. So anything you want in jewelry. I can't repeat it enough. Diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets. whatever you want. If you're listening, you're streaming, you're riding in your car, what am I going to get for Mother's Day? You can go to KleinsJewelry.com. It's free delivery. We'll pick it out for you. I'll send you pictures. This is my cell phone, 832-316-1388. You can text me pictures of what you want. We make everything. We're custom jewelers. We do it at the best price in the city of Houston. So anything you want in jewelry, give me a call or give me a text, 832-316-1388. Check out KleinsJewelry.com, and we have two locations to take care of you.
Augusta and Woodway, I-10 and Echo. Let's go. 832-316-1388. It's Klein's Jewelry.
ESPN 97.5.